Good morning, I'm Pastor Duncan. I think we have two phones that may be operating, creating a little background noise, but I'm glad to welcome you to our Cornerstone Fellowship Baptist Church daily morning meditation. We do this every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, except on holidays, and we just want to pause to apologize to anyone who may have called in yesterday expecting our meditation. But we thank God that you're here today, because my prayer is that today's meditation is going to be inspirational. But first, I want to open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of gathering today and for the opportunity to spend this morning in meditation one more time. We're so grateful because you are such an awesome God, and through your greatness and your mercy, you enable us to continue to walk in the light of your word. So we pray that your word would be a source of inspiration for us today, that it would guide us, and that ultimately you would get the glory out of our lives. We pray and ask this and all blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's quickly review the two previous meditations, which focused on how to activate resurrection power in our lives. The first one came from Matthew. I'm not going to read the entire verses, but I'm going to give you just a couple of verses. Matthew chapter 28, verses 10 and 16. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So we've titled these three meditations, the first two in today's meditation, Make Your Way to the Mountain. And this particular concept is a metaphor. Mountain is used as a metaphor. It's a term that really refers to our maximum capacity. So we're really encouraging all of us to make our way to that maximum absolute place where God desires for us to function, to receive his instruction, and to walk in the light of his word so that our lives would bring glory to God. The first mountain that we refer to is the mountain of information. And that mountain was the mountain called the Sermon on the Mount. So we focused a little bit on the information that's required to make our way to the mountain with regard to all of the content that Jesus shared with his disciples when they gathered on the mount. The second mountain is the mountain of illumination. The first mountain, the mountain of information. The second mountain is illumination. And it's the mountain where Jesus' appearance was changed into a bright light right in front of the three disciples, his inner circle. And the message there was to be open to the fact that there are deeper ways to understand what you already know. We can have an awareness about something without necessarily having a mastery of that particular thing that we are aware of. So you can know that a dynamic disciple is a person who is vigorously engaged in the pursuit of the activities of teaching and learning, of connecting and bonding, of modeling and affirming. But awareness does not necessarily equate to mastery. So that's why not only do we encourage you to know these things, but we encourage you to read your Bible daily and to pray daily for a little while every day, to share your faith and to help others to grow in their faith. And this will produce a dynamic disciple. So making your way to the mountain of illumination causes you to recognize the truth as dynamic. Truth is dynamic. It is truth that you have received is living. It is growing. And it is expanding in practice. And so what we'd like to do today is to encourage you to reach your full potential as we focus on the third and last mountain. And this is the mountain of inspiration. And I'm about to share a definition of inspiration. Many of you probably have heard the definition that is usually given for biblical inspiration, like the Bible is inspired, we are inspired. But just before I do, I was thinking about Oscar Peterson. He's a jazz pianist. And one day he was being interviewed about a song that he played. The song was called I've Got Rhythm, if you've ever heard it. It's just a phenomenal song. And somebody asked him, says, Oscar, how do you define rhythm? And he said, if you got it, you don't need no definition. And if you don't got it, ain't no definition going to help. And that's almost a good way to thing about inspiration. If you have it, you don't really need no definition. And if you don't have it, well, I'm not going to say no definition going to help, because inspiration literally means God breathed. And if God does breathe on you, then you know you've been breathed on by God. If God does not breathe on you, all the information and all of the definitions given will do very little practical good. So I noticed that on all three of these mountains, the mountain of information, the mountain of illumination, and the mountain of inspiration, on all three of these mountains where we have been asked to meet Jesus Christ in a figurative way, the disciples were actually asked to meet him in a literal way, but there is still some significance to this concept of meeting Jesus Christ on the mountain. But in all three of these locations, action is required. If you think about it, in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus begins to share the Sermon on the Mount, he gives them all of this good information about how to live their lives in a way that is pleasing to God, which ultimately produces fulfillment and enables them to be happy in their lives. He lists a whole bunch of things there that we can do. And then he finishes and says, you know, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And if that's the case, God expects something from us. And then when he concludes with his Sermon on the Mount, this is what he says. He says, if you follow these instructions, you will be as solid as a rock. He says that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He said, if you follow these instructions, I will liken that person to a rock. He says, but if you fail to follow, I will liken you to a fleeting sand. You know, the winds will come and the rains, the torrential rains will fall, and you won't be able to stand. So he told him that the action here is actually to apply the teachings that have been given. And on the mountain of illumination, he says to his disciples, now, I know you've experienced this, but you won't really fully understand the meaning of this until after my resurrection. So I want you to hold this experience in you until it is time to release it in the future. And then on this last mountain, the Mount of Inspiration, he gives them action. Action is required to go and make disciples. And you know, if you think about this concept of inspiration, it's a concept. And the reason why I say if you don't have it, no definition is going to do you any good, because you can really have inspiration, but not necessarily be able to recognize the source of the inspiration. And that's what happened when Paul was doing his missionary work in Acts chapter 17, beginning at the 22nd verse. And Paul was standing before the council and he addressed them. He said, men of Athens, I noticed that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. Imagine that, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I'm telling you about. It didn't mean that they didn't have inspiration. It didn't mean that God hadn't breathed on them, but it just meant that they weren't aware of the source of where this spirituality was coming from. And then he goes on to say, he is the God who made the whole world, and he made everything in it. And since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he does not live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life, and this is inspiration, life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him do we live, move, and have our being, as some of your poets have said. So the word inspiration is found in the second book of Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16, and it literally means God breathed. It is when God places an extraordinary ability on our life to bring glory to his name. And the most essential aspect to bringing to life this resurrection power that is in us is to bring into life any, or to bringing into order anything that is malfunctioning or ill-functioning or non-functioning or dysfunctioning. Is going to be resurrection power. That's the power that God gives to us. So in order to walk in it, in order to experience it, in order to activate resurrection power in our lives, this is key. On every one of the mountains, we must be available. When Jesus went to the first mountain of information, as he was on that mountain, the text tells us that the disciples came to where he was. They made themselves available physically. On the second mountain of illumination, they came to where he was. They made themselves available physically. And on the third mountain, he says, now go back and tell my disciples to meet me on the mountain where I have instructed them to meet me. Whenever we want to experience the depth of God's resurrection power, we must first make ourselves available physically. In other words, we need to make sure that we are in close proximity to God's power, because when we are in close proximity to God's power, we are able to experience his resurrection power operating in ourselves. We also must make sure that we are available not only physically, but that we are available spiritually. So on the mountain of information, if you have all information in your mind, but you haven't really translated that information into your spirit, then it does very little good. And how do you make yourself available spiritually? Well, Jesus told his disciples, he says, everything that I've taught you, I want you to go back and tell others. And this is what he told his disciples. He said, they asked him, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? He said, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. You must be able to realize that when God has given you life, to use that life for the glory of God. You must make yourself available so that you can experience the power that God desires to pour into your life and use you for ultimately his glory. So then, is loving the Lord with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. And then it is to love not only God, but it's to love yourself, to realize that God will not ever give up on you. And then to love others, to be available to God physically, to be available to God emotionally, as well as being available to God spiritually. So when we are available to God, you wake up. As I woke up this morning, you know, sometimes I say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. That's inspiration. You have joy in your soul. That's inspiration. You have peace in your mind. That's inspiration. You have love in your heart. That's inspiration. That's the spirit of God moving and causing you to have life. Now, I want to leave you with this. Some mountains are a little bit harder to climb than other mountains. So you must go through some preparation. You don't just wake up one day and decide to climb Mount Everest. No, you have to prepare for years to make that 40-day journey. So don't think that you're going to just get up one day and be able to make your way to the top of the mountain of information or to the top of the mountain of illumination. In order to make it to the top of the mountain, you will be climbing for a lifetime. You'll be climbing for a lifetime, and you'll be climbing the mountain of inspiration until you take your last breath. That's why God places us through a conditioning program. He conditions our heart. He teaches us how to love unconditional. Then he makes us a little bit flexible. You find yourself in circumstances and situations where you realize that things may not necessarily work out the way that you want them to, but you come to the realization that all things work together for good according to the plan that God has ordained for our lives. He teaches us how to pray each time and each life. Some rain is going to fall and the sun doesn't just shine on our lives all the time, but God uses the rain to teach us how to pray. He teaches how to wait on the Lord and to be of good courage, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. He teaches us how to hold on and to endure to the end. So I want to leave you with this. As you go throughout today, don't allow yesterday to take up too much of your time and your thoughts today. So get back on the mountain, keep on climbing, and if you can help somebody as you travel along, if you can do your duty in a word or a smile or a song, if you can help somebody from doing wrong, then know your living will not be in vain today. My prayer today is that you don't stay in the comfort zone, but put forth the energy to keep on meeting Jesus on the mountain of information, of illumination, and inspiration. God bless you as you make your way up the mountain of inspiration today. Peace and blessings.